a couple of things were brought to my attention and a couple of things that I wanted to add just very quickly. Number one, the language of the Rambam in Hilchos Tumah, I think Michael, where is Michael? There he is. Brought to my attention?
Depends what you're
going to
say, but yeah.
So what did you want to say? Well, once I looked at it again.
Not to get it right. I meant.
What did you want to say?
In terms of the Rambam's understanding, we mentioned that the Rambam's understanding of, and the Rambam has this, everything depends on Yisur Chaya, and then including Masopa. And,
right.
But the Rambam seems to think that a Maisa Shchita is Koveya Misa for Masopa.
Well, that would work from the based on by base vav too,
right. Based on okay. Based on all the events.
Right. I actually, if you look at Sher Avos HaTumah, right. So just it's an interesting thing. If you look at Sher Avos HaTumah, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. So again, you get the impression certainly that nevela depends on chay and base. Behema o chaya tmeya shenishkata ina metama mishum nevela kol zman shim farcheses ad shetamus o tiyatas esrosha. By adding Harei Ka'ochlin Tmeim, he's alluding to Perek Beis Halach Abav. And then if you look at Perek Beis Halach Abav, you see that, you know, that basically, instead of saying, that's one, I don't know if this is the point you wanted to make, but one could have thought that that Harei Ka'ochlin Tmeim means, even though it's essentially Chai, but it's Ka'ochlin Tmeim, meaning the other possibility that we've been discussing, which is that the problem of chai generally is that 99% of the cases chai is mufka mishem ochel, but lu yitzur you can have a shem ochel, then that wouldn't be a problem even if it was chai, and therefore the Rambam here would be telling you that this is basically chai the haraya and the vela, but harei ka'ochlin tmei. But of course if you look in Perek Beis Halacha Vav of Tumas Ochlin, the impression you get is not that way at all. Rather that Ochlin Tmeim have a different definition of Chai and Meis. But I think the point that Michael's making is that if you go on, so it's clear that Nachra Varein Farcheses Ein Bafilu Tumas Ochlin Kolz Manchim Farcheses. I mean, the other dinim establish that it's the Shchita Kshera which is really responsible for the Meis. So that's what you wanted to.
I don't mean Shchita Kshera. I think it's just a Meis Shchita by anybody.
Right, right. No, not, I don't mean Shchita, which is Matir Lachila, because obviously. As the Gemara itself says, and as the Rambam codifies, it applies. B'tame and Yisrael b'tame akum b'tar, where there's no heksher. But that obviously is koveya le'inyan chayim and maves in with respect to tumas ochlin according to the Rambam. But I thought it was also interesting that if you look at the language of the Rambam here, so the Rambam puts the din of Avram and Achai. In connection with Nevela, which the Gemara does too, but in the language is very important. The Ever Haporish Minam Farcheses also the Bnei Noach Kimefurash Minachai Ubasa Porish Minenu Kiporish Minachai, which again proves that he doesn't just think that Tumas Nevela needs more than Meis, but that he thinks that with regard to the question of Nevela, it's a question of Chaim and Mavas, as it is with regard to Tumas Ochlin, although we have different definitions. And basically what he seems to be saying really is that the Avram and Achai depends on the definition of Nevela rather than the definition of Tumas Ochlin. But I think what's particularly important about this is we noted that they have the debate between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan whether or not Mefarcheses is considered Avram and Achai or not. And originally the Gemara thought that that's a machlokes, whether or not the animal is Chai or Meis. Right. But then when the Gemara, questioned Chizkiah from the Mishnah, whether you understand it according to Rashi or the Ramban, the Gemara came up with this idea that according to Chizkiah, Mefarcheses is neither Chai nor Meis, it's this limbo in between. Either a Stira limbo or really a no-man's land limbo. But either way, now once that's true, so in theory that could have been applied also to Rabbi Yochanan. We could have then said that the debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah is a machlokas in Avram and Achai. Namely, according to Chizkiah, anything that is not Chai is not a problem of Avram and Achai, whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, you need Meis in order to be mutar, not in order to escape the problem of Avram and Achai. But again, as we noted, the continuation of the Gemara doesn't sound that way. It doesn't sound like once the Gemara introduced this idea of a limbo in between, that is also the assessment of Rabbi Yochanan, And yet, the argument continues as purely an Eivor Menachai issue. It sounds like the Gemara continues on its way. Rabbi Yochanan didn't change his mind about Mefarkeses and about Eivor Menachai. Only Chizkiah did. And that, I think, is reflected in the Rambam as well, because the Rambam actually didn't have to link these halachos together at all, especially since the Rambam's shita, as we've, I think, shown throughout, is that there are different definitions of Chaim and Maves in different areas of halacha. So one might have dealt with this issue in a totally different context, but the Rambam doesn't. He says, "Evra porish min amfarcheses, also lebnei Noach keporish min achai, ubasa porish min menu keporish min achai." Meaning, it's not because of the limbo period; it's because of the fact that leinyan nevela, it's kechai, and that's koveya with regard to evra min achai as well. So I think this just proves again that according to the Rambam, we are dealing with Chaim and Maves, and that Rambam understands that according to Rabbi Yochanan, there was no change in that whole issue. Okay. Having said that, so the question then arises: if Rabbi Yochanan doesn't accept Mefarcheses as a limbo between Chaim and Maves, does he think that the whole concept doesn't exist, or does he just think that Mefarcheses is not a good example of it? And that might have other nafkamina in areas of halacha. We talked about a few other cases, you know, goseis and hatazas harosh. The Rambam himself in this halacha goes on to explain, again, the language of the Rambam is very important. So in farcheses, it's clear that we're talking about something which is chai, but when the Rambam does say that certain things do have tumas, chilei kabehema lishnayim onot leyerech, the chalal shala, he says, harezu nevela umetama b'magu masa afapishi hadayin b'chayim. V'chenim kara migaba onishba mifrekes v'rov basar ima harezu kinevela l'chal davar. So the Rambam himself does have what seem to be examples of nevela afapishu chay, nevela afapishu chay, and that would be very important as opposed to saying, well, these cases it's kemes. Legamri. What would be the status of Eivor Menachai in those cases? The Rambam doesn't really tell us. Hatazas HaRosh, again, if you look at the language of the Mishnah, one could have read the Mishnah in Kuf Yud Zayin as saying that not that Hatazas HaRosh is mace, but Hatazas HaRosh is nevela. Again, the Rambam does speak about Hatazas HaRosh here. Here he says earlier, Ad Shetamus O Ad Sheyatiz HaSarosha. Right, it's not as clear when he speaks of it sounds like an alternative to Tammuz, but he doesn't actually say that it's a nevela afapishu chai, which is what he says about the other cases that I just mentioned. So it's in general interesting to wonder whether Rabbi Yochanan, even though he's not operating with Mefarcheses as a limbo state, whether there aren't other limbo states, or maybe that's not what the Rambam is saying either. The Rambam is just saying that something is chai and yet it has a shame nevela. Okay, so these are issues that need to be looked at. Okay, the other thing is I mentioned Tosfos Bechoros. I just wanted to. I was rushing at the end. Tosfos Bechoros is the other extreme on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Tosfos here has the possibility that when we say the Farcheses Kechay L'Chol Advarim based on Hamada V'Haracha, that's not only limited to Hamada V'Haracha. You know, as a special din of movement, etc., but that impacts on being osa tmura as well. That's one to bring that Tosfos to your attention. That's not the one that's quoted so much in the other Makoros, but it's Lamed Beis Amud Aleph Divrei Maskil Ha. He really belongs on Lamed Beis Amud Beis, as the asterisk tells you. Tema lukmid b'farcheses tariv kachay l'chal advareha kedamar perik beis dechulin yeshlamar d'shema zu hoisa chashuva kachaya af le'inyan tmura. Meaning that wouldn't work with this Gemara. Because if you really believe that it's kechaya, then maybe that would really work, even legabe osa tumur. That's a chiddush. That would be a chiddush. Okay. So I just wanted to point out that is the other extreme. The Rambam Minchas Tumas Meis, I also wanted to bring to your attention, Perek Chaf Halacha Gimel, is where the Rambam speaks about Tuma Blua. And just to point out, again, that the Rambam L'Shitaso sees that as its own definition let's say Perek Chaf, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam sees that as its own definition of Misa. Again, one could have understood that the issue of Tumah Bluah is that in an Ochlim, that's what we discussed, maybe the Pshat and Rashi and Tosis, although they, Tosis, I think, accuses Rashi or misunderstood Rashi, but the Rambam here, Nishchat Rov Echad Ba'of Rov Shnayim Bebehema, Afa Bishadayin Hein Mefarchasin, Harehen Kimesim Ve'inen Matzilim Ala Kalim, Habluin. So once again, where it would have been easy for the Rambam just to say, well, it's an ochel, and even if it's question of chayin and mabes aside, there's no such thing as tuma blua ba'ochel. But the Rambam again chooses not to go that route, l'shitaso, but to say that everything depends on chayim and mabes. Okay. Finally, we mentioned that there may be some categories that are treated a little bit differently. And Erchin in particular, maybe one of them, I'm not going to go into more than that, but the Sugyan Erchin Abdallah Roman Aleph, and the fact that we're Mimai to Goses, the question that Tosis asks, Tosis's answer, the Rosh's answer, also Daniel brought to my attention that the there's a tshuva of the Rid, in which he says exactly what the Rosh says, quoted by the Shita Mekubetzes, but he makes it even clearer that in the question, he thought that Goses was obviously much more chai than Pirchos. So with regard to that whole problem, the distinctions that are made between by the Rosh, by Balei Tosis, etc., one could just say that there are two other distinctions at play here. One is the difference between Adam and Behema, but not just for technical reasons of Yesh Chiyusa or Ein Chiyusa B'Mefar Chesed, but simply the whole way that you evaluate life. That could go in either direction, but in general, this is a question. Most of the Mfarchesa's cases that we've been discussing are cases of animals. Just as, again, for physical reasons, there could be differences between different types of animals, as the Gemara already on Ein Hay considers, but it could be that it's just much more fundamental difference about the nature of life, quality of life, what's meaningful in life, that these issues we might be mechalek between people and animals. Again, if there's spasmic some sort of life or life energy or force, does that constitute really life? Again, it could be lekula, it could be lechumra, but that's an important distinction. And the category of erchin in itself might be different, as we noted. The way that you evaluate an animal for pidyon and the requirement of hamada v'haracha, but it's basically an assessment of the value of that particular animal, that might be a whole different issue than the objective erki alai, the parsha of erchin in the Torah, which how we're going to apply that to chayim and mavet. So that's an important issue to pursue. Having said that, I think there's another few examples as well, which relate to both human beings and animals. One, of course, is the question of Hilchos Shabbos. As we said, Shochet is Netilas Neshama. And the question is whether the same dinim apply or not. The Rambam, did I bring it or not? I forgot to bring it. But the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Shabbos, Halach Aleph, when he quotes the din of Shochet, which is Netilas Neshama, so there, for example, the Rambam doesn't speak about Mefarcheses at all. Let's say you kill an animal on Shabbos and it's Mefarcheses. Is that going to be a malacha or not? The issue could be in either direction. You kill an animal and some farcheset. Well, if eventually it dies on Shabbos, it's not going to make a difference. But let's say it's mefarcheset until after Shabbos, and then it dies. Okay. Either because it's mefarcheset for a long time, or because you only did the shechita right before Motzai Shabbos. So would that matter or not? Again, there's a Hilchos Shabbos question there too, namely, if you do the beginning of a process on Shabbos that ends after Shabbos, is that ever considered a malacha? That's a huge topic, about Zoreya, that's a big theme, and Ofeh, that's a big theme, and there are all sorts of makoros to consult on that matter. Both Zoreya and Ofeh, process-oriented malachos, prove that, and there are others as well. Here too, let's say you do a shechita, but it's mefarcheses on Shabbos, and then Motzai Shabbos, all of a sudden it comes to rest. So even if you were to say that Pirchus was important, in other words, it wasn't Kemeis L'chol Advarim L'inyan Shechita B'Shabbos, but you still might be Chayiv, but then it would depend on that issue, perhaps. So that's something else to consider. But that's one issue. The other issue is, let's say you encounter a behema which is Mifar Cheses on Shabbos, and you do something to end its life more quickly. Right? Is that considered to be an act of Netilas Neshama, of Shechita? So these are issues that need to be analyzed. The Rambam doesn't speak about Mifar Cheses at all in that halacha. So it's hard to know what to make of that. But the Rambam does speak about something else, and that was a discussion that does generate some discussion in the Achronim. And that is, the Rambam there speaks about dugging. The Gemara says in Shabbos, on Kuvav, Kuvzayin, that a shole dug minayam, right, if you take the fish out of its environment, so once its gills or whatever get dried up, so at that point you're chayav mishum netilas neshama. And some of the Achronim note that that's fine and good, but is that the definition of misa for a dag in Hilchos Tumas Ochlin? That's a relevant question to us, because we are familiar with the Gemara in Kulin Daf Ayin Hei Amud Aleph, and the Rambam, that's one of the cases of the Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Vav of Tumas Ochlim, right? That's what the Rambam is relating to, when he says that you need, that you can't have a chaya. Right? One of the two cases that we noted appear in that Gemara in Ayin Hei Amud Aleph. One is a ben pekua, and the other one is a dogim. So the Rambam's view: kol ochlim heim bali chayim, enim mekabim tuma chi yamusu. Shachat behem chay afa pishe adayin ufarkas in mekabim tuma. The dogim meimisam mekabim tuma mishi yamusu. Now in that same Mishnah in Uktin, which is where this machlokas be Shammai be Hillel about dogim shenitzodu or dogim mishi yamusu, so you have the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva seems to say that the definition of Tumas Ochlin for Dagim depends on the point of no return. Now, even if it isn't yet mace, but if you throw it back now into the water, it's not going to be able to revive. So it's basically, its fate has been sealed, although, I mean, Nitzodim, its fate has been sealed, but, there's no, it's not irreversible, right? You can just throw the dug back into the, like free... Willie. Right. Except the name really wasn't Willie, they said. The whole thing was a fake.
Right. Shamo?
No. Something with a K. Whatever. Anyways. But they changed his name. It wasn't even nice. Okay. So you could do that. But in the case of the Siabesh, Ben Asanpirim, whatever it is. If he's Yavish Kisela, you can't do it anymore. So Rabbi Akiva's view was that Tumas Ochlin begins at that time, even though it's not mace, but its fate is sealed. But we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. We paskin like the Rabbana. Actually, Rabbi Chalap told me the other day that he wrote an article on this, and he gave it to me to look at. So he has a whole analysis to try to show that really the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva on this issue, and that there's no discrepancy between Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Tumas Ochlin, which is very interesting. I think it was in the Beis Yitzchak of last year or the year, but maybe the year before. Okay. But the Pashtus, it sounds like we accept the definition of its fate being sealed when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, and we don't accept that when it comes to Tumas Ochlin. So both in terms of mefarcheses, in both questions of mefarcheses, namely, if you shech the animal and it's still mefarcheses till after Shabbos, assuming that you can't continue after Shabbos to define the shechita, which is a big question that's not so obvious, and the other question, again, you take a mefarcheses and you're makariv misaso, and with regard to the question of dagim. The question arises whether Hilchos Shabbos, the definition of Shochet or Netilas Neshama, is identical with that of Tumas Ochlin. But of course, for the Rambam, this is a complicated question because, you know, Tumas Ochlin is not the only game in town, as we've said. There's also Nevela, right? And there's also Hamada V'Haracha. For the Rambam, these are all different definitions of Misa and Chayim. So particularly when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, one could argue that, that that's a totally different question. Whether, and maybe in both directions, anytime you're either makariv misaso, right, or you're sealing the animals, it's netilas neshama. You don't need misa. The truth is that the av malacha really is shechita, as we explained. So shechita doesn't mean misa. The real av malacha is shechita, presumably, even when there is mefar chesed. According to many Rishonim, Chabura, Chovel, is a told. That's a Machlokas Rishonim. So Rishonim understand that Chovel is Mefarek, told in the Dash. Happens to be Shita Sarambam. But many other Rishonim, in this case it's not the Rambam, but other Rishonim, the Bali Tosis, in the opinion, that Chovel is Netilas Neshama. Because Ki Adam Hu Nefesh. Meaning, Netilas Neshama in Hilchos Shabbos doesn't have to be, you know, an absolute act of Misa in either direction. It doesn't mean you find the animal healthy and you, you know, you are solely responsible for its death. And it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that when you finish with it, that it's completely dead. Netilas neshama is a change in the state of the animal in one sense or another. So the point is that there just may be different definitions at play, and that might explain why the Gemara seems to, and the Rambam, in, by extension, seems to accept the definition of dagim, of removing it from its, you know, its life-giving environment when it comes to Shabbos. Even though in Tumas Ochlin, the Rambam I think does paskin like the Chachamim, and that would explain also why Mefarcheses has no role, seemingly has no role to play in Hilchos Shabbos.
Avi showed me that in the Shiltos Vav, he adds on the list of nafkaminas, he has Rova, Hamad Baracha, and Harisha on Shabbos.
Harisha on Shabbos?
Yeah, when you plow with the shore, if it's if our Chesis is alive, so then you're Chayiv, and if our Chesis is dead, so then you're not.
Wow. How can you can plow with a Mefarchesa chore? Wow. That's what the Shiltos says? Okay, so the Shiltos is trying to connect. Well, that's in terms of a different issue, not Netilas Neshama,
right.
But you know whether or not there's a shame shore. I guess one would have thought that, I mean, Harisha is not a din in shore particularly. I mean, isn't Harisha din in Yipui and Ripui, or Yipui or Ripui Akarka? Well, what is the why do you need a living shore as long as it, if you take a if you take a lawnmower or I mean, wow. Okay, I'll look at it. What is it? Where is it? Shilta Vav? Okay, wow.
Shisa's
that's
behema.
What? Maybe it's maybe Shisa's behema. That I understand. Okay, but Harisha? Wow. Okay, unless you think that Harisha and Mechamer, some people say that. Maybe that's the idea. Okay. Anyways, the Tilas Neshama, I think, is a very interesting issue, and I'd say Rabbi Chalap has a different approach to the topic. The Rambam Hilchos Rotzeach Perek Hei Halacha Beis also speaks about the status of Pirchos L'Inyan Galus. Obviously, this you know, we're talking about people now, but as I say, the idea of Pirchos in a person might, in theory, be different than Pirchos in an animal. Either way, the question of Rotzeach B'Shogeg B'Mezid, that's something to look into. Makariv Misaso is Retzach when somebody is in a state of Pirchos. Would that be considered Makarev Misaso or not? That would be an important application as well. And finally, just wanted to go back to one other point. That's the point that Mark made to me the other day. And that is that the first day of Tosis on the base of the base, which, as we point out, Tosis seems to say that in Ochanami, as long as it's in Far Chesed, so it is Kechai L'chol Advarim. Hamada V'Haracha is determinative even with regard to Tumas Ochlin, and we're talking about a case where he's, you know, still has the sakin there, la'achar hapirchos. Right. So so how do we explain that in light of the Mishnah on Kuf Yudayin Amud Beis? So we explained several things already, right? Mar Mishik and the Rambam Eger, we had the perspective of the Netziv, again, the Rav's suggestion. Then Mark had another har, namely. That maybe Tumas, so again, the Tziv already said the Kachin might be different, but you're suggesting that it's different for a different reason, namely. Yeah. In other words, the way that the Tziv explained is that it's Mukdashim, so it's Aser La'akum, Lechol, and for Yisrael, there's Lo Socha La'al Adam. But the fact is that Mark's suggesting, forget about Lo Socha La'al Adam, why not just say, this is not yet Roy Lachila, because there's a process which includes other components as well. Namely, there's the Shkita, there's the Kabbalah, there's the Holacha, there's the Zrika. So the point is, it's not immediately Matir, the Achila. So for that reason, maybe it doesn't have a shame to Mas Ochlin either. I thought that was a very good Hara. I just thought one could take it even a step further and say that it's not just because it's not Roy L'Achila immediately, but maybe one could take this, one could extend this idea and just say that since in the context of Chulin, in the context of Chulin, Shechita is a Matir, but in the context of Kadshim, Shechita is an Avoda. So basically, we just don't look at, even if it had been Roy L'Achila immediately, the point is we just don't look at Shechita first and foremost in terms of being Matir L'Achila. Right, and at the end of the process of kadshim, there are things that are mutar l'achila. If it's not an ola, right, to the kohanim, to the bailim, if it's kadshim kalim, that's true. But we just don't look at shechita. In again, this obviously very much depends on our previous discussion of the relationship between shechitas kadshim and shechitas chulin. Again, we had that formulation in the Griz, who said, "Oh, maybe even in shechitas kadshim, it's all about being matir l'achila ula gavoa." Okay, the other way, but. But the point is that one could certainly say, just beyond even what Mark is saying, and that is that in the context of Kadshim, of Muktashim, Shechita is an Avoda, first and foremost, not a Matir, and therefore the whole din of Tumas Ochlin doesn't apply. So I like it very much what he said, and I think that one could extend it. Having said that, I once heard in the name of Rav Lichtenstein, I didn't hear this directly, that he made a suggestion once, and I think probably might have been a different context, that that actually Muktashim might be more amenable to be Mekabel Tumas Ochlin than Chulin. And that because, in general, we find that it's easier to be Metame Kadshim, for Kadshim to become Mistame than Chulin. The whole idea that there's a Shlishi and that there's a Revi, but not only that, but that there's a concept of Psul in Kadshim, whereas there's only a concept of Tuma in Chulin. In other words, The halacha is that if you have a tvilyom, right? So tvilyom cannot be metame. He is tame, and if he touches kadshim, so that becomes pasul, right? But he's not metame. The idea is that in kadshim, negia alone, contact, kadshim are so vulnerable and susceptible, to tumah that. Just the contact alone makes them tame. That's the idea of psul, even if there isn't an actual havaras tuma letame. And chulin, on the other hand, it's not just that we have lower standards. That's one way to look at it. But chulin can never become the equivalent of psulin. So that one might say that when it comes to kadshim, even if something is chai, but if it has a shame basar, it's just, again, it's so vulnerable and susceptible. Just like the level is more susceptible, so too the cheftza is more susceptible. And as long as it has a shame ochel or shame basar of any sort, then it would be mekabel tuma. So that maybe even bepirchus, it would be easier to be mekabel tuma than chulin. So I think logically that makes sense. It's a totally different idea. That's in one case, what I was talking about before, and extending Mark's idea is that the act of shechita as is viewed in context of kadshim or as an avoda, and not so much as a matir of achila, and therefore it's going to, be more difficult to generate tumas ochlin in and of itself, and that I think would explain the first day of Tosis very well, extending Mark's idea, the discrepancy between kufiyat zayin and beis and our gemara. Lichtenstein's idea, again, I heard it secondhand, is more that when you have a cheftza shel basar, or shel ochel, that is more easily, that can become tummy more easily, not just because of sheni, shlishi, etc., but because the whole process of tumma is different in kadshim and chul. I think that's absolutely true. The question is whether it applies here. I'm not sure what it's meant to explain, because either way, it is clear, according to the Mishnah Kufi Zayin with Beis, that there is tumas ochel in the pirchos in chul. Good. Okay, now let's move on to the next Gemara, to Gimel Amud Aleph. Let's start discussing that. Jay, you want to? Okay, let's first go through the Gemara, and then we'll try to break it down into the topics. Go ahead. Abai Omar. Okay. So basically, we have this view of Abaye. Abaye is an alternative suggestion. So far, we had Rabba Bar Ula, who kept us occupied for several weeks about Mukdashim and Chulin Shinas Al Taras HaKodesh. So now we come to Abaye. Abaye's idea that the Mishnah is talking about a Kuti. If it's talking about a Kuti, so then the distinction in the Mishnah is between Yisrael Omed Al Gabav and Yotze V'Nichnas. Correct? Okay. Now we'll see what seems to emerge according to Abaye is that Yotze V'Nichnas alone is not a sufficient degree of Hashgacha. This is a huge issue in real Hashgachas, by the way. When do you need a Mashgiach Tmidi, kind of the equivalent of Omid Al-Gabo, and when is Yotze V'Nichnas sufficient? This is an important Gemara for that. We're not going to go into that too much, but it's an important issue. Okay. What is the difference between Omid Al Gabov and Yotze V'Nichnas?
Yotze V'Nichnas, you have to make sure he's willing to eat it.
So that you need to, it seems from according to Abaye that you need to prove that it's kosher, because we don't rely on Yotze V'Nichnas. That seems Abaye seems to be rejecting Yotze V'Nichnas. What is the principle upon which Yotze V'Nichnas is based on the surface? Mirtas. Exactly. Meaning, Omid al-Gabav, we understand, it's based on Riya, right? The idea of Yotze V'Nichnas is the idea of Mirtas. We want to figure out how different is Mirtas from the Riya of Omid al-Gabav. That would be one of the issues. But it seems like Abaye is completely unimpressed with Yotze V'Nichnas. Okay, go ahead. Amar Rava.
Right.
But even if it's the Yeved, it's still a problem, right? On the surface, which is the question of Tosus. Because on the surface, it sounds like Abaye says that even the Yeved, it shouldn't work, which is why we'll read in a minute, but Tosus has two deos, whether or not Abaye's view is only Lechatchila, or it's even b'diavad, because the simple reading of the Gemara here is that that Abaye would accept this b'diavad, and that's not the way it seems earlier. In any case, you have this Mishnah. This is a Mishnah of Avodah Zarah that says that meniach chov kachov mechanuso, and that the mirtas of yotze v'nichnas is sufficient. Go ahead. Yeah, there are two with the second Mishnah. Right, two Mishnayos and Avodah Zarah. Also, this Mishnah is talking about Yayin against Stam Yenam. Right, you're allowed to leave the Goy in the place there, as long as you're Yotze V'Nichnas and he doesn't know your schedule. The Mishnah elaborates that. If he knows exactly, obviously, what your schedule is, then being Yotze V'Nichnas is meaningless. But if he has to be on his toes because you're unpredictable and you're Yotze V'Nichnas, so there's Mirtas, and that is sufficient for. For allowing to eat. Okay. So these two Mishnayos on the surface seem to be a problem for Abaye. Okay. Ella Amarava?
So Ella Amarava. Half exani, Hakal Shokin, Afil Kuti, Ramed Ramon, Kishi, Shah Yotze Venetnas. Ava Ba Umitsa, Shishakar, Kosef Kazai's Basa Venos and Wo, Ako Motor, Wako Mishkitasa, Wo Ako, also Wako Mishkitasa.
Okay, so basically we have Rava, at least in this version of it, is just reformulating or recasting Abaya's idea, and then it's still talking about Kutim. And except that he believes that Yotze V'Nichnas is perfectly fine. Yotze V'Nichnas is no worse than Omid Al-Gabav when it comes to Shechita, according to Rava, and Abaya disagrees. Okay, go ahead. Actually, let's stop here for a moment. Okay, so actually, just read another couple of lines. Ravashi Amar.
Ravashi Amar, Hafik Sani, Hakol Shoftin, Vafilu Yisrael Mumma, Mumma Lomai, Vafon Nebeos Ateyava, Uki the Rava. Damarava Yisrael Mumar Ofel on the Veos of Teyarbon. Badak Sakim Nosin Lo Umutu Lachal Mishkitaso. Avalo Badak Nosin Lo Wo Yishot. Vim Shachad Bodek Sakino Akarav. Nimte Sakino Yafe Mutu Lachal Mishkitaso. Vim Lav Asa Lachal Mishkitaso.
Okay.
Put the Persia to the Katan, the Afil Diadin Amigo, Shemi Shay, Shemi Jose, Shemi Afilu, Kun Shaka Haya, Yuim Akarsha to the Katan, Awakai, Vim Shaki, by the way. Ella Yisrael Mumar.
Okay. So okay. So basically so far we have these three, Abaya and Rava and Ravashi. And of course, what intrigued the Rishonim was how come if the issue revolves around Kuti, right? So then there's this idea of you know Nosnim Lo Chaticha Lechol, and that will somehow supplement our Raya, but we don't find that with regard to Mumar L'Teyavon, right? That's one aspect. On the other hand, with Mumar L'Teyavon, right? What's the Chiddush of Rava? That Bodek Sakim and Nosnim Lo. Right, but without Bodek Sakim and Osein Lo, unless you have Omid Al Gabav, it's not going to work. So why don't you need Bodek Sakim and Osein Lo for Kuti? Okay. So the first question, why don't you need Nosein Kazayas Chotek Kazayas of Osein Lo Lachol for Mumala Teyavon? That's not much of a problem. Why, Jay? He's a mumla teyavon. So basically, you know, if it's if it's either Torah or Amal or money or whatever it is, you know, it's leshavak hetera v'yachal isura. But you know, if his reputation or whatever is on the line, you know, there doesn't need to be too much counter pressure for him to violate. So the fact that there's no chotech basar is obvious. As for the kuti, the bodek sakim and osein lo, that's more difficult. So Tosas asks that question. What does Tosas say about it? Just read that Tosas very quickly. Below has Shinan, Tosas bodek.
On the topic of it.
Yeah.
Below has Shinan, Shemi Shair Shiros. Below Shav the Ketera of Afro Yisera. Rafi Lo Yafo Mimene, to Chai Shalut Meiva was the same show. Rafi Lo Yafo Mimene, to Chai
Right, but I feel Einachar Omer Al Gaba V'Lo Yotze V'Nichnas, Avakuti. So how is he explaining why? Lo Boy B'Dikas Sakin V'Mirtas. Lo Matzino B'Shum Makom Gabi Kuti She Yitzarech B'Dikas Sakin. V'Ein Ein Yitzal Gad Yotze V'Nichnas. Yeah. Go ahead, keep going. The tema. Okay. Okay, just finish up quickly. Bein Lahak shows. Okay, so that's basically Tosis deals with two questions. The first question Tosis deals with is why the discrepancy in factors between Kuti and Mumer L'Teyavon. Basically, Tosis's answer is we're dealing with two totally different principles. Right? One principle is the principle of Mirtas. Mirtas is going to apply even to the Sakin, so there's no need for Livdokas HaSakin because Mirtas would be included under the rubric of Sakin. And in the case of Mumer L'Teyavon, there is no Mirtas, but the issue in Mumer L'Teyavon is simply Lo Shavak Hetera V'Ochal Isura. These two things have nothing to do with each other. Then Tosis in the end is asking a separate question, a question which all the Rishonim asks as well, and that is, well, if there are backup plans in all these cases, so why are they b'diavad? Why not be chotech, kizayis in the case of Kuti, and why not be bodek sakin in the case of Mumer L'Teyavon? To that, Tosis answers, well, chayshinan dilma mishtali v'ochel. We're worried that, you'll forget, you won't do the backup, and you'll eat. And some of the other Rishonim give another answer, and that is, well, people, you might not forget, and therefore there won't be a chashash nevela in your case, but people might see that you're giving a kuti, or you're giving a mumer l'teyavon, a lechatchila, to be shochet, and they'll think that it's mutar l'gamri, there's no need for safeguards, and therefore, so that it shouldn't be misconstrued by others, that's the answer that many of the Rishonim give. Actually, there's one day in the Ramban who says, in Achanami, you could do this. Why is it called b'diavad? It's one day in the Ramban. Mostly the Ramban agrees with the other two days. But the Ramban says, maybe you really could do this, which is a chiddush. However, it's called b'diavad. Why?
Because it's talay until afterwards.
Yeah, because the word l'chatchila means, something that is self-sufficient. And since this depends on another factor, in that sense, it's b'diavad, meaning... there's another, but if in Achanami, if you want to do this b'diavad, we just call it b'diavad. I mean, there's a factor of b'diavad here, but if you're going to be careful and cautious, so then in Achanami, you can do it. So on the question of whether you can do these things of chatchila, there's a machlokas rishonim one day in the Ramban against the others, and there are two separate explanations that are given in the rishonim about why you can't do this of chatchila. As for the Balei Tosis idea that mirtas doesn't apply to the sakin. Does everybody agree with that? Michael?
The Ramban says, even in the case over there, he at least has one day that there's a need for a sakin.
So one day in the Ramban, and it also appears in the Ritva and in the Ran, that disagree with Tosis. And that think that even Kuti requires Bidika sakin. That does not be included under the rubric of Mirtas. So what kind of argument is that, whether or not Bidika Sakin is included under Mirtas or not? Okay, not so clear. So we'll get back to that in just a minute, but you should know there is that Machlokas Rishonim. So A, the Ramban has a day against the end of Tosis, and B, the Ramban, the Ran, the Ritva, all have a Shita that even Kuti would require Bidika Sakin. By the way, that appears to be the Shita of the Ramah, at least maybe it appears to be the Shita of the Ramah. The Rama in Yoredeya talks about Tzedukim and Baitusim. Okay. Tzedukim and Baitusim, they don't talk about Kuti. The reason they don't talk about Kuti is why? What's that? Jakey?
It didn't exist.
Okay, is that a reason not to talk about them? What? Because the halacha, if you get to the Gemara of Hamad Beis and Vav Amud Aleph, we say in the end they decided to make Kutim Kegoyim L'chol Advarim. Right, so aside from the fact that we don't bump into them so much, I'm not sure. I think there still are some kutim around actually, but Heywood based Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara concluded that the kutim of the sugya previously was before they made the final determination that they were kugayim lechol advarim. So then the question is they're makbid on Torah Shabbal Peh, they're not. They're scrupulous about themselves, but they don't care about other people. If neighbor, it's very fascinating categories, right? Okay, fine. But in the end, they're kagoyim lechol advarim, and that's how the Gemara concludes Hayom Beis Vav Mid Aleph, and that's how the Rambam concludes, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. However, the Rambam in Perek Dalet already of Hilchos Shechita. Did I bring Hilchos Shechita? The Rambam in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Shechita, quotes a Tzedukim Ubaitusin. And Elo HaTzedukim, this is Perek Dalet Halacha Tez Zayin. Elo HaTzedukim V'Habaitusin V'Talmideyan. Now, the truth is, in the Rambam's time, there were no Tzedukim anymore anyway, but there were Karoim, right? The Talmideyam are the Karoim, obviously. V'chol HaToim Achareihem She'enem Aminim B'Torah She'Bal Peh Shechitasan Asura V'imshachtu B'faneinu Harezu Muteres She'en Yisra Shechitasan Al Hashem Yikalkalu V'hen Enem Aminim B'Torah She'Shechita. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, since the Rambam, you know, quotes the Tzedukim by Tusim, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes it too. And the Rama, when he quotes Tzedukim by Tusim, says, however, you need Bedikas Sakin. And the Shach immediately attacks that. Shach says, I think I wrote down the Sikkotin somewhere. The Shach in Yoredeya says, what are you talking about? Why should you need why should you need Bedikas Sakin? This is a base test in Yoredeya. I forgot to bring Yoredeya with me, but Simon base Sif test. The Tzedukim by Tusim require Bedikas Sakin. The Shach, Sif Katan Chav Dalet, says, but aren't Tzedukim by Tusim the equivalent of Kuti in the Gemara? Right? And if so, then Tosa says you don't need Bedikas Sakin. So I don't understand that at all. So it could be, but I think I take one or two approaches here. Either the Rama thinks that Tzedukim and Baitusim are different than Kutim. In other words, the Tzedukim and Baitusim that he speaks of are not the heir of the heirs of Kutim of the Gemara. There's some nuanced difference in terms of the issue. That's one possibility. Question whether Mirtas applies to that or not. Or that the Rama simply paskened, not like the Bali Tosa, but like the less well-known position of the Ramban. It's only a day of the Ramban, I should add. In the Ran, and the Shita of the Ritva, which is that Bedikas Sakin is really necessary for Kutim. But then the question then arises again, why? What's the nature of that Machlokas, whether Mirtas applies to the Sakin or not? Maybe we'll get back to that. Not sure if we can explain it, but maybe we can try. Okay. In order to do that, let's just read a little more in the Gemara, because the Gemara has an important line, two more important lines about Yotze v'Nichnas, which I want to speak of first. So let's continue just quickly the Shaka Vitaria, and then we'll get back to Yotze v'Nichnas. Go ahead. Okay. Is that what we're up to? Yeah. Okay, so this view of Ravina is saying what? In a nutshell?
Right, that even
the factor that's important here is?
Even if you're not mumcha, like as long as you know Shkita.
Right, so being a mumcha is the critical component here. And if you're a mumcha, then you can be shoche. Okay, even if you're not mukhsak. But if you're not a mumcha, then what happens? Then you need Omid al Gaba. And the Nafkimita will be the Lesa Kaman de Libtike. Okay, go ahead. Ikadami Rabin Amar. Okay, where does this base for Gimel Palmim come into play? To establish a chazaka, most Rishonim understand it this way. Then there's a machlokas in Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Generally, whether you establish chazaka after two times or three times, so a lot of the Rishonim suggest, or a lot of the Achronim suggest that's the reference here as well. That this is the whatever shita you hold by Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. We'll see whether anybody disagrees with that, but to establish a chazaka. Go ahead. Salafti, right? Oh, so again, the leisa l'kaman de l'shaile. That would be the issue. But Gemara says clearly that barali shalon salafti would be neman. What about a person who was not a mumcha, but when you explained to him hilchas shchita, he said barali shalo ta'isi? Would that work in the same way? According to the first version of Ravina. That's in the second version of Ravina. We're told that if you want to make up for Shalona Salafti by saying Barley, we believe you. Even if you're not a Muksa. So let's say there's no Acherim Ronoson, but when the guy is not a Mumcha. So normally his shechita would be psula because we don't know whether or not he did a good job. He doesn't know. We believe him. He's a fine, upstanding Jew, but he doesn't have the expertise to know about his own shechita. Right? But let's say then we taught him hilchas shechita after the fact. So would we? And then he said, "Oh, okay, that's what that little thing was in the Heliga Korkavon or whatever it is, right?" So he said, "Yeah, I did that. I did it well." Right? Would you believe him or not? So that it's an interesting omission in the Gemara.
Right.
So the Rishonim talk about this. If you get a chance, you should look at that. That's the Rajba here on. I think Iran quotes it also. The Rajba on Gimel Amud Beis talks about it. And there's a discussion in the Rishonim on Daf Tesamid Aleph. Rashi on Tesamid Aleph discusses it. And the Ramban on Yud Beis Amid Aleph discusses it. The Rajba and the Ritva discuss it here on Gimel Amud Beis. Does that come under the rubric of what rule? Kol Milsa de la Rami Arale Dinish Lava Daite. In other words, when do you say that, you know, when people aren't, again, there's no problem of credibility, right? We believe the guy completely. The question is whether or not we can trust his memory or his assessment with our expertise. Can you provide that Lemafreya? Right? If it's lo rami alei d'inish or la vadate, that's the question. Do you apply that here or not? When do we apply that rule? When don't we apply that rule? So if you look at the majority of Rishonim here, again, the Rajba, the Ritva here, the Ramban and Yud Beis, some Rishonim Daftes, say, yep, physical evidence, lo nisalafti, we'll always believe the guy. Right? He may not be a muksak, but you know he knows whether he fainted or not, you know, or whether he hesitated, or whether he was shaking or not. He knew that going in, probably. But the intricacies of Hilchos Shechita to assess that, Lamafreya, right? Do we trust somebody to do that? And if not, so do we ever trust an assessment, Lamafreya, when somebody wasn't paying attention or had no reason to pay attention, you know, at the time? Right? Let's say in Eidos, you see something. And you know, at the time, it was benign. You know, he didn't think it was a crime, or it was particularly significant. Okay. But then Lamafreya turns out that it's a crucial piece of evidence. Ah, A was talking to B, right? And you know, you saw this and that. At the time, you didn't think anything of it. It happens all the time in Toin Venitan type circumstances. But Iglai Milsa Lamafreya, that was a really crucial scene. Azama, very good, right? You saw Bill and Bob, and you know who would think anything of it? But it turns out that Bill and Bob, you know, are claiming that they were Adam 1,000 miles away at that moment. Okay, but at the time it didn't mean anything to you. So we don't say you know, lavadate. Obviously, that's different than knowing Hilchos Shechita. So when do we apply the rule of Kol Milsa de Lorami Inshi Alavadate, and when don't we? Okay. So Rashi actually, Daf Tesamid Aleph, seems to say that you would allow the Shochet after he gets the expertise to say, oh, I did a good job now that I understand everything. And most Rishonim say no. Okay, so we'll speak about that a little bit. But yeah.
Is it
Could it also be an issue of just somebody has to be a mumche to be a bar shemitah mishkita?
Could be. But again, we do see that Omer al-Gabav helps.
Right.
The question is if we know that he's not a mumche. I mean, there are two issues, like Tosis points out here. Right? There might be a difference between knowing he's not... Either way, I mean, he's not a goy and he's not a katan. Well, even a katan is Omer al-Gabav helps. So we know that, b'dieved, if his shchita is witnessed and it's a proper shchita, so then it's probably not a psil gavra, at least not midaraisa. We'll discuss it more. But that's partially what Tosis is talking about.
Just to jump on Michael's bandwagon, I think that the way you could explain that is an anansad. In other words, Tosis deals with the issue. Basically, what emerges is that right, if he's there and he doesn't know, then it's for sure psul. But maybe we can have an anansade that right, if he's delaysa come and didashayle, that people just don't happen to do good shchitas, and we can assume.
No, we're not talking about Leisa Kamad in the Shiloh. We're talking about a totally different question. We're talking about the guy's there. He wasn't the mumka at the time. There was no Omid al Gabav. And the question, and now we've taught him Ilchus Shchita, so he now looking back at it, he remembers that he did a good Shchita.
Right.
The question is, when do we rely on that, and when don't we rely on that? When do we rely on that memory, and when don't we rely on it?
I'm not saying that the issues are, I think the issues are kind of related. Like, if you assume that somebody doesn't know the...
that he's Vadai Shochet Nevelos.
Right, even though you're...
It could be.
That could suggest that there's a fundamental...
Yeah, that could be the answer. That could be when you do, when you don't. But what I'm saying is we're not going to go so far as to say that a person who doesn't have Mumchias in Shchita is a Vadai Shochet Nevelos, that it's a Psul Legamri, because then Omer al-Gabav wouldn't help you either. It's a question of the Umdana more. That's what you mean.
Can't it be,
you prove that the burden of proof is on you. To,
can it be a psul begavra, but Omid al Gabav is attacking that psul begavra? Like we see
it's
that.
We'll discuss it. Yeah. Right. I mean, we'll discuss it. But again, that it depends partially on the issue that we discussed with the Lavush and the Shach. Right. Let's say you have the Lavush said that a katan should be nol ben atzmo, who's shochet shchitaso is nevela because he's not a bar zvicha. Right, so the Shach asked, that's what we discussed when we talked about Katan, right? The Shach asked the question, but what are you talking about? Sometimes it works. We got a Lomid al-Gabav. So the Labush said, yeah, because when there's Gadol Lomid al-Gabav, the Gadol's in Bar Zvicha. So that partially is a question. Is he remote controlling the Katan and he's really the Shochet? Or at least in terms of the Das Shchita or the Bar Zvicha, you can do that or not. We'll get to it. But the Pashtus, again, that's partially what Tosis is bothered by too. Tosas here. Av bishen mumchin pirish de lo yadina ni gamri lo gamir. Right? De yadina beg de lo gamir af the bidiavit shkitasa pshula psula kadamar av yudam lekaman kol tabach sheni yadeh hechot shkita v'chule. So we'll have to see whether that is sustained or not. I mean, is it really a psul? And the only time that Omid al-Gabav also helps is if you just don't know one way or another. But if you knew that he was a non-mumcha, that would be a midrabanan, but at least midrabanan, you would say that shkitaso psula. But what I'm saying is, even if you don't go that far, let's say you're just not sure one way or another, you didn't know going in one way or another, will you say, Rami Ale de Inish, Lava Date, when will you say it, when won't you say it? So it could be, if that's what you're suggesting, that the question of the status quo is very much an issue. Now, if you have a Safek, then maybe you can clarify that Lama Freya. But if something is Vadai, not kosher until the burden of proof is on you to prove that it was done properly, maybe you can never do that, Lama Freya. That's one explanation. There could be another explanation, and that is just the difference between mitzius, facts. As I saw Plony and Plony in Chicago. Number one, it's pretty cut and dry, there's nothing subtle about it. That's another distinction. Number two, it's a physical fact. Right? So the fact that I didn't think anything of it at the moment and Lema Freya turned out to be highly significant, is beside the point. The fact is that it's black and white and there's no issue of confusion. It's a question simply of memory, of knowledge, of factual information. But when it comes to halachic information, right, where there are judgments to be made, and it's a different kind of... If there are facts involved, I cut it this way, I cut it that way, but The point is, we don't look at them. It isn't only facts. Maybe there, you can never provide yeda or knowledge or facts. L'mafreya. So there's a question. I think there are three ways to look at this issue. One is what you're saying, which is that it's a real psul, but then you have to see whether it's so or not. Or the question of burden of evidence is the distinguishing element. Or there are different types of factual reports. Again, legal factual reports, physical factual reports, or just between cut and dried things and more subtle things. So there are four, I think, possible avenues to pursue. We'll look at it a little bit, but at least it's an issue that comes up here on Daf Tes and on Daf Yud Beis as well. Go ahead. Let's continue just to get through the Gemara first, and I want to... Muhammad is Bavari, go ahead. Okay, now we're just trying to figure out why everybody's arguing. Go ahead. Mishum.
Mishum, Dikashu. Because they ended up with Mishum. Kuhu, Kurab, Baru, Gohami. Wahaf, Mishum, Damas, Hafa, Iker, Adarava, Hassam, Iker, the Bakarjim Kai. Wahaf, Mishum, Damas, Hassam, Iker, Wahafa, ID, Tan, Bukhun, Tan, Nami, Tan, Mikashim. Tan, Bukhun, Gufi, Goetra, Kuhai. Kuhun, Chanasa, Tasa, Kurish, Wahaf, Kurish, Dami.
Okay, so basically, right, there are vulnerabilities in Rabba Bar Ula's idea, because, you know, are we really talking about Mukdashim here, or Kol Nishanas Al Taras HaKodesh really Kekodesh? Go ahead. Kulu Keravina Lo Amri.
Kulu Keravina Lo Amri. Lachma Shada Amra Mumchen In. She'in Mumchen Lo. Robin Tune Echashchita Mumchen In.
So this, of course, is what we've been trying to discuss on Tuesday, right? Do we Paskin this way or not? Is Machlokes HaRishonim? Whether or not we pask in Roman Tzvi Netzah Shritah Mumchenin, the large, the rove, the majority of the Rishonim pask in Roman Tzvi Netzah Shritah Mumchenin, even though there is a machlokas about this in the Gemara. Go ahead. Yeah. And the Ramban noted that while we use the phrase Roman Tzvi Netzah Shritah Mumchenin, we use the phrase La'alufe Lo chashina. We don't say rov mitzui neitzo shchita lo alufe ninu or inu. Ramban thought that was very important. The fact that the language that we use in alufe lo chashina sounds like more decisive. We dismiss completely alufe, right? Whereas rov mitzui neitzo shchita mumchenhein is a rov, but we're not saying that, you know, le'elo she'enan mumchen lo chashina. That linguistic Ha'ara is the Ramban's Ha'ara here on Dav Gimel Amud Beis, okay? And he thinks that it's important nafkamina for the issue of Tzarech L'Barer or Ein Tzarech L'Barer. Go ahead. Rava Lo Amar Kavaya.
Rava Lo Amar Kavaya Ki Kushe.
What was that Kushe? You have these two Mishnayis in Avodah Zarah that Yotze V'Nichnas works. Okay, that's important. How's Abai going to answer that? That's one of the reasons we read till this point. Abai Lo Amar Kavaya.
Abai Lo Amar Kavaya. Hasam Lo Naga. Hakam Naga.
What is that distinction? So again, this is crucial because, remember, this is an important issue. When do you need a Mashkiach Tmidi and when do you need a Yotze V'Nichnas?
By the Ayin, the Akum was touching the
Ayin. He's not touching the Ayin.
Not
here, he's Naga. Here, he's Shechting. Right? And there, he's just in the store. Okay. So how does Rashi interpret this? That's a distinction the Gemara makes. It's going to be very important, right? To determining which kind of mashkiach you need for which things. This is a paradigm, right? So, hasam lo naga, hocha naga. That's a very important line. For Abaye, at least. Maybe not for Rava. So what does it mean? So Rashi takes a certain position on this matter, namely... What does Rashi say? Yeah. So how do you understand Rashi?
It's an issue of time.
Yeah, Rashi is very, very technical. There is no fundamental difference between these cases, except that in one case, the Yotze V'Nichnas is just no longer workable. Because, you know, it's in his hands and he could keharify and basically he could do it. There is still a mirtas, you never know when the guy's going to come in, but ain't a doma a mirtas, when there's a, I guess a longer process at stake, as opposed to if at some point it's literally beyond. I mean, he's supposed to do the shechita. He's allowed to do the shechita. That's Rashi. However, it's possible to make to understand this line in a different way. How else could one read this line? And in fact, I found Rabbi Kveger does read it this way. Hasam naga, hachalo naga. Possibly. This might be, again, the distinction of Rashi is very technical. It's important, but it's technical. Right? It's quantitative, essentially. Jason?
Maybe it's more, the Yomadish should be more involved in the process itself, whereas by the Yain is playing more of a passive role?
Yeah. Number one, active passive, but even more so, cheskas iso cheskas hater. Okay, you can draw the line at either place, but I think you're absolutely right. Meaning, hocha naga, hocha lo naga. In the case of shechita, you have, you're basically this fellow who you're policing, right, or you're supervising, be nice about it, you're supervising, he is the one who is going to transform, you know, the chaya, which is, you know, becheskas iser, into a heter shechita. So this, the degree of supervision required for someone, you know, who you're relying on, you know, to create kashrus, to create heter, might very well be different than what's the case of the guy in the chanus. We just want to make sure that he doesn't, that he's not going to take the good yayin and make it into stamiena. Of course, there's another distinction too, which the Rashash points out. Actually, Rabbi Kveger points out both. Rabbi Kveger says this. He says that hocha naga, hocha lo naga means there's a difference between cheskas iser and cheskas heter. Then he adds something else, which the Rashash also says on the spot, namely, Ari, do you want to say? Okay, you were raising your hand. The what kind of halacha is the din in avodah zarah? Let's say in the worst scenario, what happens in avodah zarah? What are we talking about? Sorry?
Fear that he may touch, in which case there is a
gzeira. Yeah, exactly. It's a din drabanan, stam yenam. I mean, it's important drabanan, but we're not really worried that, in the case of the Mishnah at least, we're not really worried anymore about, you know, yayin avodah zarah. It's part of the gzeira of stam yenam. So it's a din drabanan. Here we're talking about nevela, which is din daraisa. So Bikaveger says both. Number one, here we're talking about a daraisa, and we're talking about relying on him to be motzi bideiser. There you're talking about a drabanan, and we just want him to leave things alone, you know, to watch the store, make sure nobody breaks in, but leave the yayin alone, don't touch it. Okay, that would be very important for the distinction between, again, according to Rashi, it sounds like it's quantitative. You can't rely on the mirtas, you know, if he can do it keherifying. But in the case of in Rabbi Kveger's understanding, it sounds like it's an important principle that there are really two different, perhaps even to say that there are two different, not just you have a better hashgacha and a worse hashgacha, you need the better one for, you know, for being motzi midei iser, and especially iser daraisa, as opposed to being machzik with the chashash of iser drabanan. You could interpret it that way. Therefore, you need a better hashgacha. A better hashgacha is omen al gabav rather than yotze v'nichnas. It could be, it's not just a better hashgacha, it's a totally different concept of hashgacha. Namely, in the case of mirtas is basically a kind of an umdana. Right? You want to make sure you didn't see anything. Right? But the Yotze V'nichnas keeps him honest, so we can rely on that chazaka. Omid al Gabov is a kind of edus. So the point is, it's sufficient to have an umdana, a chazaka, if we're talking about being machzik beheter, and it's necessary to have a kind of an edus or an emanus, which is going to establish that it was changed leheter properly. Yeah.
Can we also just say that it's an issue of Hasan lo naga? He has no clue if the guy got involved in the issue at all if he touched it. But here, vaday naga, like in the Ramban we saw earlier about,
right.
We see that he's vaday naga, so now we have to be more choshesh.
Right. I mean, vaday naga safek kilkel.
Right.
That's even, so even if there was no difference, Michael's saying, even if there's no difference at all between the cheskas iser, cheskas heter, or daraisa, drabanan, in addition to that, in one case it's safek Naga, what did he... It's Nagas. Vaday Nagas Safek, what he did with it. In the other case, he just left it alone.
And also,
that would be another place to draw the line.
The Lashon seems to be more... Because if it's an issue of Cheskes Isser, Cheskes Heter, shouldn't the Gemara like spell it out more clearly?
Well, I guess it depends what the word Naga means. But right. I mean, I hear what you're saying. So this would be very, very important. Now, these distinctions would also answer Tosis's question, but let me let's just finish it with two dots, and then I want to read a few more lines, and then we'll just another 5 more minutes. Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead. Okay, we'll get to that issue later. Go ahead. By Lamar Kavashi.
Okay,
what's wrong with Rava?
Rava assumes that even though you're a mama, you can shatter
the place. That Rava believe, this is something we have to discuss, a very fascinating issue. Mumar Ochel Tayavon, we apply the rule of Lo Shavik Hetero V'Ochel Isura, and that's not such a Davar Pashut. Why isn't it such a Davar Pashut?
It might be easier for the Mumar not to shatter than the Pashut.
What's that?
It might be easier for the Mumar not to shatter than the Pashut, right? So.
Well, I mean, then it wouldn't be lo shavak. Then the metzias wouldn't be lo shavak hetero v'achal isura. It sounds like it's something more than that, and something more principled. But the Gemara itself, again, that's why I wanted to see the language later on. The Gemara later on uses the language of kivin the dash dash, which is, you know, gets connected to our Pirkei Avos a little bit, you know. Avera goreris avera kind of a thing, meaning kivin the dash. Once you, you know, you may just be driven by your Yetzer Hara, but once you start doing these things, right, it has a momentum of its own. Kivin the Dash Dash. It's fascinating, right? That's one way to look at it. If you didn't have that line, another way to look at it might be to say that there's a Psal Gavra. That's one of the things we're going to discuss. Mumar L'Tayavon, maybe he's a guy, he becomes a Mumar, whether that's Daraisa or Drabanan, but at least the Shem Mumar is Posel him. Perhaps a shechita, even if we don't have really an amanus problem so much, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe every single time when he has the option, it's, you know, l'shavak ater v'yachal isur. But the fact is, he's still a mumar. Whereas the kim d'dash dash the pashtus means that it's just not true l'shavak. It starts out that way, but it doesn't never stays that way. Okay. Continue. Ella Rava my tam le'amar kishmaite. Okay, so this is Rava being excessively humble, like the you know Rava and the Al Kagam, you know the Rashi. But okay, b'metzia. Okay, Rava's is sacrificing his own view. He's just working within a bay. Okay, just one other line. Just one of the. Did you go on? Did you read on the Gemara? Okay. So for tomorrow, do it. But I'll just pick out the line for you just for a moment. The Gemara here on Dalet Amud Aleph. This is the beginning. I'll read this for a couple of minutes. Tot Farabban Shchitas Kuti Muteres Medvar Mamurim Kis Yitzral Amud Al Gabav Abam Mitzo Shoshachad Chote Kazayis Nosin Lo Ochel Mutal Lachom Shchitasim Lavasal Lachom Shchitasa. So that's a bias view. So then the Gemara says, "Kiyotze b'matzav yado dekuria shel tziparim kotei rosh shalachad mehav and also no achla muter lachom shkitasa umlav also lachom shkitasa." So then the Gemara says, "Abay diak mireisha, Rava diak miseifa." But the Gemara provides a few more lines about this debate between Abay and Rava about yotze v'nichas. Abay diak mireisha, tamid yisrael amid al gabav, avol yotze v'nichnas lo. After all, the Mishnah says Omid al Gabav, so that should exclude Yotze v'Nichnas. And Rava Diak Misefa Talmud Ba Umitzo Sheshachat Av Yotze v'Nichnas Shapir Dami. So then the Gemara says Labaya Kasha Seifa, right? I mean, does seem like it says Omid al Gabav. So the Gemara says Omalach Yotze v'Nichnas Nami. I'm sorry, Labaya Kasha Seifa Omalay Yotze v'Nichnas Nami Ba Umitzo Korale Ula Rava Kasha Reisha Omalach Yotze v'Nichnas Nami. Ka'omid al gabav dami. Okay, so it seems like there are two elements here. Number one, the distinction of naga and lo naga. That's one. And number two is that there seems part of the debate between Abaye and Rava. It depends how you read the Gemara. One could read the Gemara saying, "Well, what do Abaye and Rava do with the discrepancy between matzah and omid al gabah. Okay, so the Gemara is saying, no big deal. The question is, which is the exception, which is the rule? You know, anything but omid al gabav, do we mean, or anything but matzah bashuk? But it could be that the Gemara is saying something more significant, and that is that Abaye holds that yotze v'nichnas is like matzah bashuk, and Rava holds that yotze v'nichnas is like omid al gabav. Not just in the halacha, in other words. And not just the question of what is exception, what is the rule, you know, anything but omid al gabav or anything but matzah bashuk, but take it literally. What the Gemara is saying is partly the argument between Abaye and Rava is how you evaluate yotze v'nichnas. Is yotze v'nichnas al pidin the equivalent of omid al gabav, or the equivalent of matzah bashuk, which goes to the heart of the question that we raised before, which is this idea of yotze v'nichnas, mirtas, a different perspective than omid al gabav in hashgacha, or is it just, you know, more or less of the same thing? Better, for sure. I mean, the more tmidi you have, the less gaps there are, the less chance for, you know, for mistake to take place. We understand that. What I'm saying is that the only difference between mirtas, yotze v'nichnas, and omid al gabav? Or there are two different concepts of hashgacha, in which case the language of the Gemara Dalet Amud Aleph would be very important. Maybe that could be part of the argument. Do we equate omid al gabav and mirtas or not? That partly is the issue. And if we do equate omid al gabav and mirtas, that too can be explained in one of two directions. Are we saying that, well, let's not exaggerate the significance of omid al gabav, right? If omid al gabav works, then mirtas should work as well. Omid al gabav isn't what you think it is, Abaye. Right? Rather than saying, you know, Abaye, you have an inflated view of omid al gabav. Yotze v'nichnas is as good as omid al gabav because omid al gabav isn't all that, you know, you think it's cracked up to be. Or is it the opposite? Is it that, you know, Rava is being told by Abaye, you know, don't think that that yotze v'nichnas isn't just mirtas, you know, that it's really, you really think that it's like omid al gabav, an ambitious omid al gabav. What do I mean by that? So just I'll just tell you 1 minute, and then we'll stop here, and then we'll discuss with the Tosus next time. Let's recall just very briefly. Tosus on Yud Beis Omud Beis. Right, when the Gemara said on Yud Beis Omud Beis, Gemara is responding to the Mishnah that Katan, or in general, the Omid Al Gabav works. So the Gemara says, you know, this. Who's the Mandamar who says that Shechitas Lav B'nei Kavana Ninu? Man Tanad Lo Binin Kavana? Shechita Amar Rava Rab Nasani. Right? Nasan's the one. So Tosus asked the question. We discussed this earlier in the year. Namely, Yossi, what's the question?
The question is relates to that we find the requirement of Lishma and Gittin.
Yeah, exactly. We do find that Omid al Gabav allows for Lishma in a get, for a katan.
Right.
So what do you mean that a katan is lav b'nei kavana? When there's Gadol Omid al Gabav, we see that there is kavana.
So he answers that there's a difference between, it sounds like a fundamental difference.
Acherim Ronos, which is what Adam. Where's Adam? Adam here? Not here? Okay. I think it was Adam, right?
Yeah.
It was what Adam asked at the time, and that's why we, one of the reasons that we looked at that Tosus, right?
It says that Gimel and Aleph, they seem to think Acherim
Ronos is Omid al Gabav. So the question is Acherim Ronos and Omid al Gabav identical or not? And it also comes up again in the Sugya and Sukkah on Mem Beis, Omid Beis. The Gemara says that Amar Rav Huna, but the Katan, you know, who's the age of Chinuch, that Ochlin Mishchitaso, and the Gemara says Amar Rav Huna v'hu Gadol Omid al Gabav. Right, so all the Rishonim ask is what we discussed, right? The Mishnah seems to say that Omid al Gabav is B'diavad, or Acher Ronos is B'diavad, and yet Rav Huna seems to say it's L'chatchila, because they're assuming, that's why I think the Rush quoted Tfilin, etc., they're assuming it's part of the Sugya of Chinuch. We said maybe not, because the language is different. But that's what basically they were assuming, that Omid al Gabav and Acher Ronos are all the same. But either way, Tosis's point is, Tosis's answer is, that there's a difference between the God Lomid Al-Gabav of Tefillin, of Lishma in Ksivas HaGet, and perhaps other cases where Omid Al-Gabav works too, and our Sugya, because in our Sugya it's really Acherim Roanosa. Right, Mas, the case of Chalitza is Bezen Godal Omid Al-Gabav Mazhir Nasos Lishma. Whereas here, it's again God lo made Hainu Melabdim Oso Mazirnos as Las Lishma. Halacha Achir Ronos Abial Makamar. It's from a distance. Afagal Debreish Pirkin. He asked that question. Kari Lachir Ronos a God lo made Algabov. Nonetheless, the truth is that I don't know if we suggested at the time, but that also may be a solution to the Sukkah problem. There really could be two God lo made Algabovs. There's an Achir Ronos and a God lo made Algabov. Right, maybe one is lechatchil, and in addition to the other chilukim that we discussed for katan at the time, which is yochel amein and mumcha, one or both, the age issue, which is the rush and the ran in sukkah, the rush here and the ran in sukkah. In addition to those distinctions, right, in theory, another distinction could be in light of this tosos, difference between a real gadol omid al gabav, which may be more lechatchila, and a acherim ronos. Point is, and according to tosos at least, if we're talking about acherim Ronoso, and isn't the normal Godol Omen Ogaba. So, this question of the equation between Nichnas Viyotze and Achayim Ronoso becomes very much acute. What are we saying when we equate them according to Rava? Rava's equating them. He's equating them because even Achayim Ronoso, right, is not such a strong Raya. Maybe it's more of an Umdana than a Raya. Or more than an umdra than a edus, or on the contrary, it really is gadol omid al gabav. In which case, what we're really saying is that mirtas isn't just an umdana, but it creates almost the equivalent of raya. Now, how could that be? So let me just give you a mashal amad davar dome. Although I agree that there are chilukim to be made here, but just and we just will conclude. We have a principle in Ishus, right, that you need Eidei Kiyum. And if you're Mekadosh be'Eidei Bia, Mekadosh be'Kiddushei Bia, so how do you have Eidei Bia or Eidei Kiyum? So the rule is, Hein Hein Eidei Yichud, Hein Hein Eidei Bia. That's the rule. The Eidei Yichud are the Eidei Bia. So what exactly does that mean? So there are many Rishonim who think that it's such a strong umdana, such a strong chazaka, that it works. It's the equivalent of Edus. It's very difficult to say that. It's possible that what we really are saying is that what you do see in terms of the Yichud, Alpidin, the Yichud, Ri'as HaYichud is Alpidin Edekiyum on Ri'as HaBia. That's the umdana kind of equates what you saw with what you need to see, and therefore we don't view the effect only in terms of the likelihood that it all happened, but it's almost, it is a maisedus, maisa godasedus. That's how some Acharonim explain, for example, though there, again, another explanation too, why we distinguish between an umdana lemafreya and an umdana mikano lahaba. Right, the famous discussion in the Avnei Miluim and all the other Achronim in Avnei Ezer, etc. Let's say you see, somebody walks into the room with a wad of cash, or a case of the Tshuva Sarajba, an Esrog, it's even better, and he walks in to the room there, and then you hear him, Me'achari HaPargot saying, Harat Mekudeshesli B'Tabaz, or B'Esrog Zeh, I should say, Kedas Moshe Yisrael, and then she, walks out triumphantly, waving her esrog. I'm not sure if this is on Sukkot or not on Sukkot, but is that Mikudeshes? So the Rashba writes in a tshuva, absolutely not, because it's lacking Edekiyum. So the Achronim say, I'll ask, but why is that any different than Hein Hein Edeyichud Hein Hein Edebia? And there's a big discussion in the Rishonim, Tshuvas Maimonios, and others. How does Heinei Nedi Yichud, Heinei Nedi Bia really work? So one of the things that are made are there's a difference between an anticipated you know, when I can foresee that something is going to happen, you know, that's a different umdana than when I can reconstruct and know that it happened.
Right.
Now, which one is the Shimon ben Shetach case, you know, when the guy's chasing the other guy with the knife, or the sword, actually, you know, and then you find him afterwards with the dripping blood, and he wasn't even a Mefarcheses anymore, completely. So that's a, you know, question in its own right. But the point is, what's the difference between a predictable or an anticipated result and a reconstructed one? In terms of umdana, one could say there's still a difference in the quality of the umdana. Something that you could predict will happen is a stronger umdana. You know, it's more of an anansahadi, I guess, than simply a ruba delesa kaman, or stronger ruba delesa kaman. One with, I guess, is less of a mir. It could be. I'm not really sure if that's true. I think that is what some akronim say. That it is a stronger umdana. I'm not convinced that it's so. I mean, just because something is more anticipatable, that means it's more likely to take place than a good reconstruction, frankly. But if we're talking about Eide Kiyum, then it makes all the difference in the world. The point is, because Heine Nede Yichud, Heine Nede Bim, what we're really trying to say is that the Yichud itself is already Tchilas Maisa Bia. Now, the only reason that that's so is because of the Umdana. The Umdana is what allows you to draw the circle around the two things, what you saw and what you didn't see, and to see it as one integrated whole. Therefore, you've seen it, you've seen part of it, you've seen all of it. You know, Miktsasa and Kula, in this case, not the Bittul, but the Kiyum. Obviously, that's based on the Umdana. And obviously, it's easier to say that, maybe it's only possible to say that, about a anticipated or predictable Umdana, rather than a reconstructed one. Reconstructed one is, by definition, two different pieces. Just we happen to be able to figure out what happened here. But it's hard to say that that's Eidus L'Mafreya. Eidus L'Mafreya is maybe a Tarj Sasri in terms, especially Tamad Eide Kiyum. So what I'm suggesting is, although it's not exactly the same thing, when we talk about Mirtas, Yotze V'Nichnas, what we might be saying, one way to look at Mirtas is, I mean, I think it's the Pashtus, is that it's not Ri'ya at all. Basically, we just know when we're relying on the Umdana that everything is Hakol Kadasu Kadin, because the guy's not going to risk it. So if we reconstruct the Metzius, we can be confident that he didn't touch the Ayin, that he did a good Shechita, whatever the case may be. But I think it's possible to suggest another approach along these lines, and that is Mirtas establishes that whatever you, since you could pop in any minute and see, so the point is, he can't know when you're popping in. And therefore, whenever you pop in, you're seeing what you would see at any time when you would do that. In other words, Alpidin, it's a lesser form, but a form of Ri'ya. The Mirtas allows you to connect what you did see with what you didn't see, and to project that it's all one and the same. So it could be that that's exactly what the Gemara is telling us. One of two things, according to the position of Rava. Rava's either saying, Gadlo min al-Gabav is also an umdana, because you don't really see very much. Just that he knows you're around, you're there, you're always there. It's a super mirtas. That's what the Rashash, by the way, on Dalet Amud Aleph says. He says, what does that line in the Gemara mean? Anyways, you're this. I don't remember if he quotes, I have to look it again. I don't remember if he quotes the Tosfos on the base or the base, but it's a natural to quote it, maybe not. Meaning, Gadol min al-Gabav doesn't mean you see every prat anyway. It's like super mirtas. That's Rava's view. But I think that one could suggest the opposite. And that is that Rava really meant was, mirtas is a form of ri'ya. Whereas Abaya says, no, ri'ya, omid al-gabav is ri'ya. That's a decha nemam b'yisurin. Mirtas is an umdana. An umdana doesn't work. An umdana doesn't work d'oraisa, or an umdana doesn't work d'rabana. That's the 2 days of Tosfos that we'll pick up with next time. We'll finish with this first, and then we'll discuss, then we'll move on to Rav Mitzvah Neitzel Shechita Mumkane. I mean, if you're there and he doesn't even know whether you're watching or not.
Let's say even if you're in there, if you didn't pop in at all, you were too busy, never showed up at all. But the possibility for you to have come in would have been, you could say it's okay, but the second way with no Ria, there's no room to say it.
Remind me. Right, that's a little different because they're saying, how can you still say, why is there even a kashash? But you're right. That's not going as far as close to something based on Pesach. They're told, they're Rabbanim explaining, why are you even worried about Katsila? Shema Yisha, Shema Yitro, Shema Yachlin. After all, the guy's watching. So he says he's not, he's watching, but it doesn't take more than a fraction of a second.
Right, so that fits in with the Gobble. That's the idea of Mirzas. It's like it's from Mirzas instead of it being.
Right, but the get from Mirzas would help you. Right. I'm just saying, that Rabban is not going as far as Tosis is saying, it's not even Kabbalah. It's, you know, it's like the guy standing right. He's saying, give it to you, right on top of the guy. But for a Shema, for somebody who's really an incompetent Shema, it's a question of confidence.
Amen.